Today on Real Ghost Stories Online, who was the ghost boy that came to visit along with some of his parents' friends when one listener was a child?
Welcome to Real Ghost Stories Online. Call in your real ghost story now at 855-853-4802 or write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. You're about to enter the world of the unknown and quite possibly the undead. This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
That it be, and 855-853-4802 is our phone number here at Real Ghost Stories Online. You can write in, share your story that way on our website, realghoststoriesonline.com. And of course, if you like the program and you want to help support it, keep it on the air, get access to all of our bonus episodes, but our brand new ones every single week. They're called EPP bonus episodes. You also get advanced episodes of the show and the whole archive, 8 years worth of shows, which is the world's largest audio archive of ghost stories. It's only $5 a month to get into any of that. You can go through Patreon, just search Real Ghost Stories Online, or go to patreon.com/realghoststories. Or our website directly at ghostpodcast.com. Both platforms got the same stuff on there for you. And you can start binging away anytime you want, especially campfire season, all that going on. So check that out and help keep us on the air. Tony and Carol Hughes with you on today's episode of the program. And what's going on?
Campfire season? I never thought of that.
Yes, if it weren't like 98 degrees at 10 o'clock at night, sure.
It's hot right now. Yeah. Okay, so I think this is kind of funny. But, you know, we talk about dreams all the time and people like having premonitions and stuff.
Dreams
here's my question. Is there like a time limit? Like, could you have had a dream a really long time ago and then it just recently came true? Does that still apply or is that just a coincidence?
I don't know.
It's so kind of depends. Here's the thing. So today, that's what I love about Facebook Memories, because it tells me all this weird shit that I totally forgot ever
happened. It's accessing the ethers of your brain.
Right? And like, it happens almost daily. I'm like, it'll be an, oh yeah, I remember that. Or an, oh, I did that. but this is a, oh, I did that kind of moment. So this is in my Facebook Memories today. It happened 8 years ago. Last night I had a dream that I got fired and it kept waking me up and I would think I didn't have a job. Then I'd fall back asleep and it would happen again. I better be on my best behavior at work today so they don't fire me. 8 years later, 8 years and 1 month later, I got fired. And the funny thing is that after I got fired, I mean, there's really nothing funny about getting fired, but
sure,
it's been a year ago now, that I kept waking up. And I'd have this really, really bad dream that I'd get fired, that I was getting fired. And then I'd wake up and I'd be like, ah, shit, I really did. Like, that really did happen. Then I'd fall back to sleep and I'm like, my God, I just was having a horrible dream about getting fired.
Away.
Oh, yeah, I did.
Yeah, that was
isn't
yesterday.
That crazy? So that was a dream I had 8 years ago. That's funny because somebody wrote, silly Carol.
When you work in radio and you have dreams about getting fired, you're not silly. Like, you could be doing the best of anything and get fired in the middle of it. I've had it happen. It's just like, oh, we had number one ratings and we improved our morning show. Like, how many points? And everything's going. You got an award. Oh, great. Yeah, we're going to go with a different direction with the station.
And then, you know, here's the thing. They have every right to do that at some point. But it's like, so life goes on and whatever.
That was my life.
I just think that's so weird that I would have that dream. And then that actually did happen to me.
Yeah. It's
so no time limit, right?
No,
like,
no time
limit. If you had a premonition type of dream, which that was.
Yeah. Was it or
the dreams I continued to have?
I mean, I think we knew what the reaction would be should that event ever occur. But I mean, was it a premonition or were you just kind of getting a feeling, you know, just as things change and all of that had changed and just, you know, were you just kind of starting to feel maybe just,
who knows what I was thinking about 8 years ago, but my guess is that something usually like if you're having a dream, in fact, I think somebody put that in the comments about having a, like, it means you're going through change in your life. Yeah. Like, they looked up the definition of a dream, like
yeah,
what it means. So, you know, who knows? Because I don't even remember having that dream. But I'm glad for Facebook, because now I'm like, oh my God, I had a premonition dream 8 years ago.
I think sometimes when there's turmoil in our lives, whether it be personal or professional, even if we can't quite put our finger on what it is that feels off, but we know something's not quite right, you start to kind of have dreams about those things. And they get to be very specific, usually in the dreams, as far as what is off, or, and even if you can't figure out why something's off with that person or that place, then you start to have those paranoid dreams. And mine go to, you know, it's going to end. It's, I've had it with work. I've had it with relationships. And I think it's because some anxiety was interjected that kind of told you something was off, that cycle began. Cause forever, you should have never thought that, but it was just, you know, slowly but surely that sort of stuff creeps up.
Goes under the shit happens category for real.
It does. So it's interesting.
But I still have the dream, the anxiety dream, my go-to anxiety dream.
Yeah.
And I don't know why. I was in college a very long time ago.
Mm-hmm.
But my dream is that I get all my classes and then there's just that one class I never make it to.
Yeah.
And so I'm like, I keep meaning to go there, or God dang it, I forgot what time it is, or I forgot what building it's in. So I never get there. Then the semester's over and it's like, you haven't turned in anything and you're way past time to drop it. You're getting an F.
Yeah.
And that's my dream. That's my big anxiety dream. Or waiting tables and they keep seating me and seating me and seating me. And I'm like, I can't keep up. I can't have this many tables. And they're like, you're the only one. Deal with it.
God. Mine is, it's the old high school locker still, the combination and not getting it to work. However, it is weird because I will wake up from that dream sometimes and I can tell you what version of the dream I had by my locker combination. And I'll be able to recall it in the
dream.
And I'll be like, well, this year it was that combination, or that year it was this other combination. And I'll be like, shit, that was the locker combination when the locker was over on that hall. And that was the one when it was down on this other hall. And it's like, it's these little things are etched into your brain somewhere, but good luck pulling them up unless your brain believes you're there again and in that situation. I'll wake up and I'll know the combination for a minute or two.
That's pretty impressive, because this is no shit. I thought about this recently for some strange reason, because somebody was talking about a locker in school and I'm like, did I have a locker in high school? And then I got to thinking about it. I'm like, well, I had to have had, doesn't everybody have a locker? But I don't remember anything about it. I don't remember where it was.
Wow.
I don't remember anything.
It was a large form of stress for me. Just trying to get
that's funny. And then me, on the other hand, I'm like, did I even have one?
That's great.
I don't remember. Yeah. I guess I did.
Well, I'm glad you had a stress-free locker experience, because it's not a fun dream to constantly have years later.
Yeah, but I did have the dream I got fired in.
You get that one. No, that's true. But I've been having this
now
one
forever.
Now
I'm going to get a waitressing job, and I'm going to get sat, like, repeatedly.
You still got your dreams. They're from those sort of eras, so it makes sense. 855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your real ghost stories with us. First story says, hello from a small quad city bi-state area in Illinois, Iowa. I have a few ghost stories, but I think I will just start with my earliest. Just started listening to your show the other week, and I love listening while I'm in my art mode or cleaning mode. It's great to hear everyone get their ghost stories off their chest or just share, because I love the show. Thank you guys for being here. I hope to send you a few more of my stories. When I was a kid, I was subjected to a few experiences I believed to be paranormal. My family and I lived in a little house just outside of the Quad Cities in a little quiet town. We were there for about 6 years, and in those 6 years, my father, stepmother, and I had our own odd encounters. All of us were put in vastly different situations. My father had seen shadows darting down the hallways or along the walls all through the house. My mom had found herself face to face with a tall, menacing shadow figure that she felt meant whatever harm it could muster. It was blocking the front door, also blocking the stairway. She claimed the figure to be rather large, taking up almost the whole entryway, width and length. She bolted out of the back door to get away from the shadow that now was advancing towards her. She stayed outside until my brother and I had come home from school. She'll not talk to me about it to this day. She was so terrified. My encounters consisted of shadows like my father had seen, just darting all over the place. I, for some reason, was the only one that was able to see a full-bodied spirit. I was about 7 a year before we moved out. My little brothers and I would watch TV in my parents' bedroom just across from the staircase. I found myself needing to use the restroom, so I stepped out of my bedroom only to run into a little boy with blonde hair, blue eyes, red and white striped shirt, and blue overalls or jeans, looking right at me, but did not make a sound. He was rounding the curve down my stairwell when he stopped to look at me. I thought that someone was here visiting my parents. They brought their kid, and we were going to play. Me being excited, I turn back into the room and my brothers and say something along the lines of, "Look who's here," and immediately turn back to the boy. He instantly looks away and starts walking down the stairs and disappears. Me not knowing what the hell just happened, lost all the breath in my lungs for a second. Every hair on my body froze on end. After what felt like a split second, I was fleeing down the stairs, calling for my parents hysterically. I screamed about a boy that had just walked down the stairs and disappeared. My mom tried to brush it off, telling me that it was just my imagination. I was hurt, but now that I'm older and have revisited these stories with my parents, I know that she was simply scared at the time, and I probably made it worse in some ways that I could not understand. Another night in that house, I had heard what I thought was mice eating plastic or something in my parents' room. I did not want to get up, but it took me a while to fall asleep. After being woken up and kept up by the noise, my parents are watching TV downstairs still. Their room, pretty dark and empty. I then realized later in life that it was not mice, but indeed someone or something button mashing on the game console or remote for what was probably hours. Grew up listening to my dad play video games for hours on end. For some reason, this scene had played out in my head many times in the past 15 years since. My last story of my time at this house is a little more personal. One night, I was once again woken up from my sleep. An unfamiliar female voice was talking to me from behind. I was scared that if we were caught being awake, even though she woke me up, I would be in trouble. I had strict parents. The voice was sweet and was telling me to be a good girl and to make sure that I did great things and whatnot. I decided to roll over to face the voice, but was not going to get caught opening my eyes. I've always been a pro pretend sleeper. When the voice stopped, I opened my eyes and there was nothing there. No noise of something getting up and leaving my room, just gone. It's a little personal because I've always believed it to be my mother, who passed away when I was an infant. My stepmother to this day denies that it was herself who visited my room to say something like that. I believe her because that's not like her, and I've never heard that voice again. One time I was revisiting these stories with my father, and he finally, after 10 years since we moved out, gave me some new information regarding the little boy that I had seen at age 7. Apparently, when I was about 2 or 3, I was just moved into my own bedroom next to my parents. My little room had a window just above the front porch roof. When I was left alone, I would see the little boy outside my room. My mom, being the stay-at-home mom, would come back after she did her business to find me trying to pry open my window to get the little boy. "He wants me to come out and play." Obviously, the window then became bolted shut. It was my room until I screamed bloody murder as I watched him fall and jump. I, of course, have no memory of these early instances with the boy. Only the stairway encounter has been burned into my memory. My question to you would be this. Why was I the only one that had the most avid and interactive experiences? I've never seen the boy since we moved out. No darting shadows either. Thank you guys for reading this. Please reach out if you want to talk more ghost stories. And Casey, could you please play Chaka Khan? Because through the fire, I know I made it through. Here's your long distance dedication. I'm Casey Kasem.
The whole time you were reading that, I was like, he's channeling Casey Kasem.
I'm channeling Casey Kasem. On American Top 40.
Because you do such a brilliant Casey Kasem impersonation. Oh, it's really good.
Dear
it's
Casey.
Really good. Be proud. now I can't remember what the question was.
It was about kids.
Oh, about why. Why that was happening.
And neither. And why it was all happening and what it all meant. Carol, what are your thoughts on this woman's problems on American Top 40?
Well, Casey. Well, gosh, excuse me. So, like, I think that number one, she was really young. And we talk about that because it sounds like in these stories, she was pretty young
mm-hmm.
when this stuff was happening. And we've talked about that a lot, about how children just seem more open to things. And so I definitely think it could be an age and then an age thing. And then you grow out of it because so many people do. But I think that voice that she heard talking to her when she didn't open her eyes, I definitely think that was her mother. Definitely.
So without a doubt, you'd like to say to the world.
I want to send a song out to
her. You want to send a song out to let her know that her mom is still there, whispering exactly. in
yes,
the night
Izzy.
In a creepy voice, and the little boy jumped off the roof.
I don't know the perfect song for that, though, Casey.
I'm Casey Kasem, and we'll find out after this. I got to hit that jingle again. That didn't work out well.
66 WNBC.
Welcome back to the countdown. I'm Casey Kasem. And now the song that we've all been waiting for. This week's number one song in the USA, Soul Provider by Michael Bolton.
That's the one?
That was Soul Provider. Yeah, I don't know.
Okay. We'll go with Soul
Provider. Soul Provider. You know, it's the ghosts. And I don't know. It's a song that I have queued up.
Oh, God, you're making me laugh. So I don't mean to laugh at her story. It's I'm laughing
no.
at you. Anyway, so yeah, that's what I think. What do you think?
I just told you what I thought here on the countdown. You should have been listening, just like great radio stations like Bitchin' 94.5. A better variety of continuous shit music for your workday. And now another great one from MB. This is Georgia On My Mind on American Top 40.
I don't even know what to say next. Oh, thank you, Casey.
Half the audience that grew up listening to Casey Kasem knows
and
that.
The other half They're is like, what the hell is he talking about?
I was told I could do a good Seacrest too sometimes. Bev always liked me doing Seacrest. She was like, you do like, and this is American Idol.
Ooh, that is good.
Yeah.
Because
so.
He always says everything with a little too much enthusiasm for me.
Too
like
excited.
Back down.
Yeah. Yeah.
But the guy's loaded, so who am I to give him advice?
Exactly. One of the most talentless DJs out there, but he was in the right place, right time, and had the right hair. I mean, Idol, I think, is what really did it for him. And more power to him.
And he must be smart with money. I mean, isn't he the producer of Keeping Up with the Kardashians?
I think he's... there's nothing special on the air about him, but he's a smart guy, and he knows how to produce and do those sort of things. So, yeah, I mean...
Hats off for that.
Exactly. Yeah, that's nothing wrong with that. Just the on-the-air stuff. It's, you know, I've never been excited to hear that. It was like, okay, vanilla is it all gets. But, hey, it works. 855-853-4802 is our phone number. At Real Ghost Stories Online to share your real ghost stories with us. Let's go to a caller on the long-distance dedication line. Casey never did callers. He read for the callers. I think Casey would have never tolerated a listener's voice on the air. I respected Casey more for that. I hated Rick D's.
Hey,
I never
Tony.
Thought. Here we go.
My name is Brian Harris. I live in Iowa. Just recently started listening to your podcast. I'm waiting on cataract surgery, so I'm pretty much blind right now. So watching TV is out. And you're the first podcast I started listening to in my life. I'm 49 years old. The reason I'm calling tonight, I was just listening to you and Harper talk about school supplies. And I wholeheartedly agree with you that the best thing about school supply shopping is they put it away and Halloween comes out. That's why I called. I do have stories to tell, and I'm going to start with one of the shorter ones. My father and I, my father's been dead 20 years now, and when he was alive, we were always ramming heads on things, one of them being the paranormal. He was totally against, there's no such thing as ghosts, there's no such thing as psychic connections, where he had several times. One example, he was working on a project with a friend of his and working over several days, and on the third night he had a dream of how this project was going to go together, and he went to his friend's house, tried it, and it snapped together just like it did in his dream. I told him, Dad, that was a psychic vision. He argued the fact. There was one time I was mowing the lawn and he was across the yard working on something else, and I stopped the lawnmower all of a sudden, turned around to him and said, did you just call my name? And he looked bewildered and said he was just taking a breath to call my name when I stopped. That still, he argued, not a psychic connection. He died November of 2001, and in Iowa that was a very unseasonably warm November, and you also talked with people about the 11/11 and 1/2/3/4 concept with numbers. He died on 11/11, so I think of him every time I see that on a clock. Side story. I was driving to my mother's house, which is about a mile north of where he was buried. And as I was approaching the area where the church was, the emotions that came back to me, and this was maybe 2 or 3 weeks after his funeral, and I started to get emotional and welling up, and driving the car, I turned my head a little bit and tried to fight back the tears, and I looked up into the sky on my left, and there was a heart in the sky, not a heart-shaped cloud, but a like cirrus clouds that were forming the shape of a heart inside them. And I was awestruck. Unfortunately, my younger kids were fast asleep in the car, and by the time I got to the farm a mile north, the clouds had dissipated and it would no longer look that way. I didn't mention it to anybody, and a few weeks later I had I don't know when the dream happened, but I had a dream shortly after that my father, I was sleeping in the living room, sleeping on the couch, and I dreamt that my father walked into the room, and in an Elmer Fudd type voice, which he did all the time when he was alive, he would say, bye, boy, and I woke up, and he obviously wasn't there at the time. And so I wrote those two incidences into a short story, and I took it to the farm one day, and my family read it. My brother read it, and he turned and looked at me, and he kind of motioned for me to follow him outside. And he told me that in the weeks following Dad's funeral, he also had a very vivid dream about our dad, and that he came to him and said, Steve, did I die? And Steve told him what happened, and I don't know any more details on Steve's dream, but that would have been in the same time frames that I had this heart cloud in the sky, and that Dad came back and said goodbye to me. So that really helped tie things up with Dad, and we still got emotional, but it was almost like Dad was letting us know he's okay, and he's going to be there waiting for us, wherever there may be. So thanks for listening to me. And like I said, fairly new listener, but with that whole back to school turns into Halloween shopping, I'm a fan for life now. Thank you. 66
WNBC. Now.
Okay.
All right, there you go. Yep. So, I get that's how bad radio was back in the day. We were, you know, no matter what happened, like here's the sad story or something, or some like heartfelt connection, and then hey, real peppy jingle, and then just music. Like, wow, way to break the moment. You know, good times. I love playing with these old things.
No.
Yeah, it's like radio Legos here. But what are your thoughts on the story there?
So I think, honest to God, like I think that his dad did come back to him, and I think that he did see that heart in the clouds, and I think he was meant to see that. Yep. But I think that, you know, the heart in the clouds is a pretty big sign. I think that a lot of us, when we lose someone, we're looking for that.
Mm-hmm.
When it can be much simpler, like, you know, you thought you heard your dad talking to you in a cartoon voice, but you were half asleep or something.
Sure.
I think it's much more subtle for most of us. It's like, that's a pretty big thing, a heart in a cloud.
Do you think someday we're going to like get back with our loved ones and shit and be like, I know I got that sign from you that one day, the heart in the cloud, and it really meant a lot. You thought I did what? The heart in the cloud. Who the fuck do you think like, I am? I'm making hearts in clouds. I'm me.
I could have done that.
How do you make a heart in the middle of clouds? Why would you think I made a heart in clouds? It was a real special moment. Well, what? Think about it. Heart in clouds. What am I going to do? That could be a really awkward conversation to have with your dead relative once you're dead.
I think my dad would be owning it even if he didn't do it. He's like, yeah, you bet.
Sure, I did
that. That was me.
And like later, it's like, can you show me how to do the cloud thing? What cloud thing? The making the hearts in the clouds. Oh, you thought I did that.
What exactly? Yeah. Remind me of that. I've been dead a long time.
Yeah. Oh, it's an old trick. We can't do that anymore. There's new EPA restrictions against the hearts in clouds. So we're not doing that.
But I think it's really awesome. Like, that's the kind of things that people are looking for.
Yeah.
And I think it happens way more often than, you know, because you're wanting that, like, mm-hmm. big sign that there's no doubt it was them, when chances are you're going to get a little one.
Yeah. No, I think it's really cool.
And I do think it can happen in your dream.
Mm-hmm.
I think it happens in dreams frequently. It's happened to me in my dreams.
Yeah, I agree. I think it can happen in many number of ways. Let's do one more quick caller before we wrap it up for the show here today. Hi.
So I actually sent in a story that happened about 9 years ago. But after hearing the show, I heard that there's a lot of people calling or emailing in that are sensitive. And so another story to share with you. I've been, I guess, a sensitive since I was young. And I never forgot about a story that my mother had told me years ago, that when I was about maybe 2 or 3, I just kind of out of nowhere told my mom that she really wasn't my mom and my dad really wasn't my dad, and that I had picked them and I was glad that I had chosen them to be my parents, and that I was swirling up in heaven and had seen them, and that they really wanted a baby and I had picked them. But before that, I was a baby in another life, and I was described that my mom had long black hair and that she carried me on her back. And I'll never forget that I actually, at the age of 2 or 3, actually used the word papoose and had said that she had carried me on her back in a papoose, and I had gotten really sick. And when I had gotten really sick, I had died. And that's when I went up to heaven and chose them as my new parents. So I thought that was a really interesting case. And it's kind of always just stuck with me. And there's many more throughout the years that I've experienced. And I'd love to share those more as I listen to the podcast. But thanks for letting me share.
Yeah, I can relate to that with the weird things children say to their parents when they're super tiny.
What, Harper, what did she say to you?
She said to me where she died in the fire, in the rocket ship fire. and her like orbiter blew up or like she was using all these words, but like, what? I didn't say, but I was listening to her, let her do her thing. And it was just like, oh my God. I'm like, oh, tell me more about that, honey. The whole time I'm thinking, oh my God, this is weird. And then she just continued brushing her teeth like nothing was going on, brought up a conversation about Dora, the explorer. But prior to that, she died in a fire. Just goes, Dad, I died.
And you hardly want to, when they're doing that, be like freaking out.
No, you don't. I was like thinking right away, like in my mind, I was like, what the fuck? But at the same time, I was thinking of the show too. And like just what we've learned over the years of those sort of things happening. I'm like, I'm having one of those moments. What do I do? So I just like, tell me more. And I didn't tell her no. I didn't tell her. I did ask her. I said, well, what do you mean you died, honey? Because you're right here. You're with me. No, before I died. Okay. What happened? There was a fire. My orbiter caught on fire and it blew up is what she said.
Wow.
So I'm like, okay. This obviously has happened to a couple times now.
And I wonder that person who called in, if she remembers that.
Probably not.
Because I've heard of kids doing that and they remember it for quite a while and then it kind of fades. There's a documentary I saw on Netflix or something.
I know what you're talking about. Yeah.
Yeah. And it's really fascinating to me. And these children have, you know, some of these people have researched these stories and it's like, oh my God, the person that you say you were did die in a car crash or, you know, they've been able to find information.
I just had a really fascinating conversation the other day with someone who's going to be a guest on the Grave Talks here in a couple weeks. And she's actually local here in my town. We were actually talking last year about putting together a ghost walk around town, this little town that we live in. And we couldn't get anybody to share any ghost stories with us. So we just shelved it. She has a lot of very interesting stories about past life regression. She's a past life regression therapist. And we talked on the show about just so many interesting aspects of this. And the evidence that is out there is really, I mean, there's no way to explain it. It's just, it's really amazing. Amanda Scherzer is her name. So she'll be on an episode called Past Life Regression on the Grave Talks.
That'll be a good one.
This summer. Yeah, it's interesting. We talked about cases that she's worked on with stuff. We talked about her own, which she believes were a series of past lives. And also just kind of an understanding of time and the linear version of it that we operate in. But is that really how, you know, the universe works? It was a groovy conversation, man. I'll tell you that much. And there was no pot involved. It was just a really interesting conversation.
Next time you'll need to smoke weed when you're imagine where that conversation will go.
That'll be a great episode. I'm looking forward to that. That would be really, it would be interesting. But it was really, it was good. It was just a really fun conversation about that stuff. So
that's something that absolutely fascinates me.
Yeah.
Because I've just known too many people and I've had too many weird things happen that it's like, if this is your only go around, what makes sense about it? You know, it's like, so it's an interesting, who knows what, what happens after this life?
Yeah.
Who knows what happens when we die? But the fact that, you know, there are people like your daughter or the woman who just called who have had vivid memories as a child.
Mm-hmm.
Of something else happening that did not happen to them in this life.
Another thing,
it's like, where's that coming from?
We talked about another concept on this too, where more so, I forget what the term is for it, but memory, like DNA memory, where it's basically memories of your ancestors passed down like a cellular level. And sometimes are we picking up those playbacks or those memories, if you will, and wondering, it's a past life or something. Is it a cellular memory type thing that we don't really know about? I mean, they have recently found different, there's brain cells in other parts of our bodies that they are discovering. that they learn, oh, well, this, because this type of cell is operating in this area on a very minute level, it's what's then communicating. That's basically the signal over here is sending it that way. But then that means there's a memory to it as well. So it's really interesting to learn about this, and you could go in so many rabbit holes.
And think about Native Americans, because they're very respectful of the ancestors and the land, and their belief system goes back generations, and those ancestors are part of who they are today.
Yep.
You know, and I think that's beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
I really do.
It was interesting. So watch for that one over on the other podcast, The Grave Talks.
Wait.
Past Life Regression is the title. It'll probably be dropping in the next couple of weeks, I would guess. That's going to wrap up today's episode of Real Ghost Stories Online. If you like the show, keep us on the air. Become an extra podcast person, EPP, as we call them, at ghostpodcast.com or patreon.com/realghoststories. Greatly appreciate that, and get all the extras, advanced episodes, the archive, all of it commercial free. Ghostpodcast.com or patreon.com/realghoststories. Until next time, for Carol, I'm Tony. Thanks for listening to Real Ghost Stories Online.